Welcome to the IC Practice Governance Podcast. Today we're going to be looking at this initiative from the line manager's perspective. In short, if you are a line manager, what is IC Practice Governance and what's in it for you? Well, the easiest way to understand it is to start by thinking about the support you've long been getting from the finance team when it comes to managing your budget. Now imagine your organization's internal communication specialists doing something similar for you when it comes to your communication activities. Okay, that may seem a bit odd at first, but if you think about it, it actually makes quite a lot of sense. After all, no one expects someone who isn't a qualified accountant to just instinctively know how to manage a budget. So the finance team essentially do four things. Firstly, they establish a set of standards for budget holders to meet. Then they provide instructions, templates, and procedures for you to follow. Third, they monitor your budget returns, whether they are monthly, quarterly, or whatever. And finally, if anyone's struggling, they'll probably pitch in with the necessary additional guidance. And surely no one would say that's anything other than just common sense. So why aren't you getting that kind of support with your communication activities? Now, obviously, there's a world of difference between budgets and communicating. And of course, one argument would be that, well, everyone is already able to speak perfectly well and most people are pretty good at writing too. Why would they need that kind of support? Well, let's think about it like this. Internal communication almost always comes out badly in employee surveys. And in a recent public poll conducted by Interact Harris, 91% of employees were complaining that their managers weren't communicating effectively with them. So clearly something isn't quite clicking yet. Importantly though, and this really is important, it's unlikely to be anybody's fault, which may seem a bit weird, but when you consider it for a moment, it actually makes perfect sense. You see, here's the thing. Let's take something like, let's say, email overload to illustrate the problem. Is that being caused by people's inability to speak or write well? Of course not. So what actually is the cause? Well, if you think about the amount of messages you receive that you do not need and cannot use, clearly there are many folk who have no idea how to discriminate between what's relevant and what isn't to different groups of employees. And if you think about it rationally, why would they know that? Are we humans born with an internal business communication gene hardwired into our DNA, which would just enable us all to instinctively know exactly how to identify what needs communicating to whom, when, and how in any business situation we ever encounter without anyone ever teaching us how to do it? Okay. Right, so when did you attend the training course which taught you exactly how to identify what needs communicating to whom, when and how in any business situation you ever encounter? Oh, hang on. No one's given you that training, have they? You've been left to work it out for yourself, probably by means of trial and error. Now, of course, trial and error has two components to it. The first being trial and the second being... Are you starting to get why it might not be anybody's fault? How can anyone be to blame for not knowing how to do something they have never been taught to do and for which they have no genetic predisposition? It's absurd. So maybe there is a case for suggesting that you and your fellow line managers would benefit from being supported in your internal communication activities, much as the finance team supports your budget management. Or would you? Because budgets just involve numbers. It's all rather cold and clinical. And a world away from having other people meddling in how you communicate with your team and your colleagues, that's way more personal. Well, maybe. Then again, maybe not. Surely it depends on how exactly the IC specialists would be getting involved. So think of it like this. In the medical profession, everybody has to follow a certain set of minimum hygiene standards, a set of procedural disciplines everyone adheres to in specific circumstances. Now, those standards cannot guarantee that no patient ever picks up an infection, but they do help to minimize the risk of something going needlessly wrong, don't they? And because the purpose of those standards is clearly prescribed, they have nothing to say about a doctor's or a nurse's bedside manner. Every member of medical staff can still respond person to person to the individuals in front of them. So what if the support the IC specialists were giving you was restricted to helping you become proficient in just three things? Number one, identifying what needs communicating to whom, when and how in any business situation you ever encounter. Number two, ensuring everybody's language is free from corporate speak and jargon, which might stop a communication being effective. And thirdly, eliciting, analysing and responding appropriately to valuable feedback. Now, it's quite possible you may say you've already got those three down, that you don't need any support with them, and you could well be right. After all, if 91% of managers aren't communicating effectively, that still means 9% are doing the job well. However, if 91% are struggling, chances are you're going to be on the receiving end of at least some of that poor communicating yourself, coming from elsewhere inside your organisation, are you not? So even if you yourself are a brilliant communicator, you would still benefit from that support being given to every manager, would you not? On top of which, there's always the old adage that you don't have to be ill to get better. So maybe IC practice governance could help you get sharper still. And going back to the parallels with what the finance team do, the support you get with your budget is there only to help make your life easier, and the finance specialists only ever step in if someone's getting into difficulties. So IC practice governance should be neither a burden nor needlessly intrusive. Even so, why do it? Why do it at all? What are the upsides? Well, there seem to be plenty, in fact. Firstly, there's the question of confidence. Because if there are no standards against which we can evaluate how well or not we're doing something, it can be tricky to know for sure if we're getting something right, can't it? Especially something as organic and squishy as communicating. So having a set of standards against which to benchmark your ability can only give you more justifiable confidence in how you're doing, can't it? Then there's emotional well-being. If there are any tweaks you can make to improve, that can surely only help you feel better about yourself. And those incremental improvements will surely also have an impact on your team as well. Each of them likely feeling better within themselves and the group as a whole, probably being more cohesive. Beyond the feel-good factor, though, there's also the likelihood of your team being more productive, with fewer unnecessary distractions, less need for messages to be repeated, whether from you or from elsewhere in the organisation. So less downtime, less confusion, fewer mistakes and misunderstandings, and less rework. It's all good. It's also likely you and your team could be better connected with your organisation's purpose and your own individual purposes, so everyone can feel more fulfilled by what they're doing day to day. And all of this together should surely make it easier for you to keep your team together. Who's going to want to leave if you and your fellow managers are making it so much more enjoyable to stay put and keep growing? So in our view, there is much to be said for IC practice governance, but it is just our view. What's yours? What concerns would you have? What questions would you like to have answered? And possibly what extra upsides might you be able to see that we've missed? If you want to learn more about IC practice governance, there are loads of free resources in the ComGame website. And if you have any thoughts or questions on this initiative, it would be great if you could share them in the IC practice governance group on LinkedIn.